Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was present at that first wedding at Cana where he manifested his glory. Alleluia. Well, so far this year, there's been some signs. Have you heard them? Have you thought about them, the signs? I'm not talking about stop signs or street signs or new signs. We need a new sign here at church eventually too, don't we? Not those kind of signs. I'm talking about the signs in the scriptures about Jesus. At Christmas, did we hear any signs? Yes. We heard about the angels to the shepherds. What a great sign to them. They're out, you know, tending their flocks by night, and all of a sudden this angel host comes and tells them about Emmanuel, who's going to come and be born, and he's with you now. Go to Bethlehem and see him. He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Go see the child. What a great sign, if you will. Then a couple weeks ago was Epiphany, right? What's the sign of Epiphany? You might think of the star above Bethlehem that manifested that this is the place where Jesus, although the Word had to ultimately get those magi all the way to Bethlehem. The Word did it, not the star, eventually. But nonetheless, the star stood as a sign of the brightness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the place over the manger, the place over Bethlehem where the Christ child lay. There was a sign, a sign. Last week, did we hear any signs last week? The baptism of Jesus? Yes. Also, starting up here, the dove, or not the dove, but the Holy Spirit who fell on Jesus like a dove, that was a sign people could see it. Ah, aha, this Jesus being baptized, significant man, important man, someone real, someone really heavenly, if you will, starting from above. And also the Father's voice that we heard, this is my Son whom I love. What a great epiphany, a sign. But today, another sign, right? The miracle of the water into wine. All the other signs were done about Jesus. And this is the first sign done by Jesus. So we should take note and say, aha, the first of his signs, and the disciples believed in him. Great, wonderful text. It happened when? On the third day. Very interesting. On the third day, this should be something that, as Christians looking back in time, we go, aha, I know what it's, why it says the third day. Why not just say, well, on this day of the month and, you know, whatever month it was. No, they said the third day. Very significant, I think. Whenever we hear the third day, our ears perk up as Christians because we know that's the day, counting from Good Friday, that Jesus rose from the dead. We say it in our creed all the time. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. Good Friday being day one. Saturday, the Sabbath, being day two. Sunday, the Lord's Day, day three. The third day. What happened? A miracle on the third day. Your ears are perked as Christians, are they not? So we hear third day. We go, aha. Third day of what? Well, historically, weddings took place for how many days? Ours happened for maybe 3 hours, right? 4 hours, who knows? 5 hours, 6 hours, a whole day maybe. But back then, that was like a week. A whole time in which God created the world, 7 days. A wedding was like a whole week. It was a celebration. And on the third day, something happens. Oh, no. What? They ran out of wine. Oh, no. It was no longer a Lutheran wedding. And Mary was concerned. The mother of Jesus was there. Mary, she was there. She cared. And she turns to Jesus and says, they have no wine. And Jesus, talking to her as a disciple rather than a mother, says, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet. As you can see, Jesus didn't have his mind on cork and barrel or on catering faux pas or social blunders, as this probably was. He had his mind on a different hour, a time that would be a real sign for the people, a real time to manifest his glory. And later we hear it in the Bible. We hear it on that last Thursday, that last supper, that night, after he took a sip of wine with his disciples that night, and after in the garden he says, ah, my hour is at hand. My hour has come. That's when his hour. His mind was on the day of the cross, the time of the cross and the resurrection, the purpose by which God has sent him, not just to turn water to wine, but rather to do something more glorious. What does this have to do with me, this marriage? Well, it does have to do with Jesus. He's there. All things are significant. But nonetheless, his mind is on the future. His mind is on the real sign for which he came. Moms are very convincing, though. As you know, my mom's here too. They're very convincing. And she, in faith, doesn't listen to Jesus and think, well, nothing. This has nothing to do with you. Rather, this has everything to do with you, Jesus. And so she doesn't turn and say something to Jesus. She turns to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. She had faith. She knew that Jesus would care as she cared. She knew that Jesus would have compassion as she had compassion too, right? And so she tells the servants, do whatever he tells you. And isn't that like the best theme of the whole Bible, perhaps? Maybe not the best theme, but a very significant theme. Do whatever he tells you. What does Jesus say at the transfiguration? Not Jesus. What does the Father say at the transfiguration of Jesus? Listen to him. Isn't that something we should do as Christians above all? Is listen to our Savior. This is what God desires, is to listen to Jesus. There's a lot of voices in the world. TV, presidents, political people, anybody, newspapers, everybody's got an opinion. Listen to Jesus. Do whatever he tells you. He's not there as a taskmaster. He's not giving you his opinion. He's there to give you life, to give you his miracle, his joy, his salvation, which is above all and in all and through all because of him who is with us in this great miracle. Now, I want you today to pay attention to three things in this miracle. I'm going to read the miracle part again. I want you to think about three things concerning the miracle. Number one, I want you to think of the source of the wine. The source of the wine, or the source of the water, if you will. Secondly, I want you to think about the status of the people in whom this miracle is revealed to, the status. And third, I want you to think of the quality of the wine. You don't miss any of the significant details of this text. The source, the status, and the quality. Okay? Listen to the text. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants whom had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now. Thus the text. So first, the source. What was the source of this wine? It was water, right, of course, but what kind of water? Where did this water come from? What is it held in? 6 stone water jars used for the Jewish rites of purification. Shorten it up, let's make it 2 words. Baptismal water. This is the water that the Jews used to baptize plates, cups, hands, their Jewish rites of purification. They baptize things. That's the verb, baptizo. They baptize things. They clean it up. So Jesus turned baptismal water into wine, if you will. That's something significant. When you think about signs and miracles, you might think of baptism, right? It's the first time God revealed a miracle to you. His Holy Spirit came to you. His presence came to you first in your baptism, right? So first, the source of the water, baptismal water. That's the kind of water Jesus turned into wine. In these 6 stone water jars. 6 of them. Secondly, the status of the people whom he revealed the miracle to. What was their status? Were they high, important people? Was it the bride and the bridegroom, the master of the feast? Mm-mm. It was the lowliest people at the wedding feast. The servants. Read carefully the text. They're the ones who knew where the wine had come from. Nobody else knew. Maybe Mary, because she had faith. But nobody else. Only the servants, the lowliest people, they're the ones who revealed this miracle. The servants. Third, the quality of the wine. What was it? Was it okay, you know, mid-quality, $20 wine? The best wine. A lot of people save the good wine first, serve it first, and then they bring out the poor wine. That makes sense. When people have drunk freely and they don't discern anymore whether wine is good or bad. But in this case, you, bridegroom, you save the good wine until now. As if all the poor wine was drunk first. Now this is better than all the other stuff we had before. The best wine for the last. Wow. Now, I want you to relate all these things, the source, the status, and the quality, to an event, the same event that Jesus had his mind on from the very beginning, the day of the cross. Think about this. What was the source for the wine? 6 stone water jars. On what day was Jesus crucified? On the 6th day, the day that man was created. Good Friday, that's the 6th day of the week. The 6th day, that's the day Jesus died on the cross, on the 6th day. Secondly, the status. What was the status of the people who he revealed the miracle of his crucifixion for the sins of the whole world? Who did he reveal it to? Well, A, to those who were tying him up and nailing him to the tree, and all of his disciples. Were they like all kings and queens? Was Herod there? No. Was a Caesar from the Roman Empire, was he there to see this thing? No. In a lot of ways, it was the lowliest people. A governor, maybe, he might have been there, and some of his servants whom he told to do this deed. Maybe Caiaphas and some of the, I don't know if all they were there or not. Well, I guess we do know that in the Sanhedrin, the courts before the crucifixion, but the actual crucifixion was revealed to the servants, the lowliest people of all. That's who reveals the miracle to. Pretty amazing. And lastly, what was the quality of the result of the cross? All the other sacrifices of old, were they the best sacrifices there could be? All the animal sacrifices in the temple that forgave the sins or communicated the forgiveness of sins? Were they the best first and then Jesus being the poorest the last? No. All those other sacrifices in time were just preliminary build-up. They're the poor sacrifices, if you will. And when Jesus is sacrificed, oh my, this is the best. You saved the best for last, Heavenly Father. Then there's no more sacrifices. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews says, oh, he's been sacrificed once and for all. Once you got the best, there's no longer to go back to the poor stuff. Right? So what a great thing to think about the day of the cross and how this first miracle is not the sign of the times, but Jesus' cross, the day of that, and his resurrection, that is the sign of the times. The quality, the result, so that the wedding keeps going, right? The wine ran out, the wine, what would happen if the wine ran out? People would probably start going, oh, well, there's no more wine, and after a while, they go, well, it's not really reason to party anymore, we're going home. And if us and our sins, if we just sinned and then the end of life came, we would just, oh, that's it. But when Jesus comes to reveal his great miracle on his cross and his resurrection, the wine keeps going. Life continues on to eternity. Isn't this a wonderful gift? This is the sign of times, not the water into wine. This is just a small thing. It's kind of, in a sense, the poor wine. And then Jesus, on the day of the cross and on Easter, that's the best wine. He saved the best for last. His mind was already there from the very beginning. Praise be to God. So, when you think of wine and weddings, don't just think drunkenness, pietism. Don't just think philosophy and art, or wine, women, and song. And don't just think food pairing. Food pairing. No. When you think of wine and you think of weddings, think of Jesus. Think of Jesus. And where he first manifested himself to you, miraculously, through baptism. The 6 stone water jars, as they were. That's where he revealed his first miracle to you, in your baptism, in those waters, if you will. Think of who you are. Are you the highest of all the earth? Are you a king or a queen? By faith you are, yes. But most of us, by sight, are lowly sinners. Anyone looks upon me, they should see a lowly sinner. I look upon you, I see a lowly... You all came together today. Nobody said, for the confession, I'll be back in a few minutes after the confession, because that's not me. No, you all stayed here. You confessed together, and God's word forgave us, raised us up, exalted us to the highest places, if you will, to be with Christ, forgiven, renewed, restored. Our lowly status has been raised. We're the lowly people, the servants, if you will. But Jesus says in the Bible, does he not? I no longer call you servants, because they were servants, but I also call you my friend. You are friends of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are God's friends. And he's revealed his miracle of miracles to you and to me, the lowly people of all the earth. Praise be to God. And what was the result of all of this? The highest good. This is the wonderful God who gave us something wonderful, the wine, if you will, the best wine. which we think of the sacrament, if you will. That's the wine that he gives to us today. This is the best drink. It may not be the highest quality wine, or sometimes it would be the highest, but it doesn't matter. He gives us himself in that wine. He gives us his own blood. This is the highest, the best, and the greatest result of all is the forgiveness of our sins and the proclamation of his death and his resurrection until he comes again. Remember, today is the third day, the miracle day, the day he rose from the dead. So also when you come forward to receive the sacrament today, think of, hey, it's the third day, the day that God revealed the sign, the greatest sign of all, the sign of signs, the sign of all times, his resurrection, which is for you. The wine we have today is good, but the best is saved for last. Think, Jesus' hour has come, and it is finished. It is over. And now we live in the new time, in Christ's time, where the best is yet to come in heaven for all of us. We wait by faith. We have it by faith now, and then we'll have it by sight. We will taste and see that the Lord is truly good. So today, therefore, do whatever he tells you. Listen to Jesus, for in his word is miraculous power over creation. For us, he swallows up death, and he rises again and gives us his resurrection into eternal life. That wine, taste and see, it is good. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. This, the first sign that Jesus did in Galilee and manifested his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.